Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Jenny's Real Talk on the Block with Jennifer DeVoe, only on LA Talk Radio.
What up, all my listeners out there in Radio Land? It is I, your hostess with the mostest, Jennifer DeVoe, or Jennifer Muse now, I guess. And that is on Jenny's Real Talk on the Block, LA Talk Radio Channel 1, iHeartRadio, iTunes, YouTube, and that is produced by Get Real Global Entertainment. I am here with my wonderful co-host, business partner, and, well, husband, James Muse. What up, JJ?
Jenny.
Oh, God.
How you doing, Jenny?
Okay, you're not Forrest Gump.
I'm glad of that.
Yeah, I am too.
What's going on with you?
What up, silent giggles?
None much. What up with you?
Or Tashina Saunders.
Oh, the government name.
One of our favorite blesbians.
Blacksbians.
Blacksters.
I didn't know how to go with that one. Anyway.
A lesbian?
Yes. A black lesbian.
A blasbian? A blacksbian?
No. Well, I'm a mud, so.
Okay, well, whatever. Yeah. Whatever the hell you are.
Oreo cookie?
Whatever the hell you are. Whatever the hell you are, we love you. Anyhow.
Yes.
So we're in the house today at LA Talk Radio in Sherman Oaks, California. It's a beautiful, gorgeous day out.
But it's hot.
Extremely hot. It's like 110 in the valley. Hey, so before we bring our guest, Ben Troop from NFL on, do you have any news or anything?
Yes, we do.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, in the news, Hurricane Harvey hits the Houston area this weekend, leaving over a dozen people dead and tens of thousands of people displaced by Fed, state, and local officials continue rescue efforts. But Harvey is far from over. A levee breached south of Houston today, and more than 15 inches of rain is expected in flood-ravaged areas as Harvey turns towards Louisiana. The National Storm Prediction Center says a few tornadoes are expected in northeast Louisiana, central and southern Mississippi, and southern and central Alabama. Five tornadoes have been confirmed so far in Louisiana because of Hurricane Harvey. In other news, Donald Trump is in Missouri to talk about job creation and economic growth using tax reform. The events, the White House says, will outline Trump's vision. Details will come out later, officials said, when lawmakers will let them out. In local news, a two-year-old girl was critically injured when a tree fell at a children's center in Pasadena on Tuesday. She was outside for lunch in the play area when the tree came down. A large limb, more than 20 feet in length, trapped the girl, according to fire officials. Two other children were also transported to the hospital with minor injuries. The LA City Council votes to replace Columbus Day with Indigenous Peoples Day in October. Proposal has already been approved by the council committee. Supporters of the plan say that Christopher Columbus' connection to brutality and slavery makes him not worthy of celebration. There is opposition from the Italian American community who view it as a celebration of his Italian heritage. In entertainment news, comedian Kathy Griffin retracted her apologies for pictures of her holding a bloody, severed fake head of Donald Trump, saying the anger against her was overblown and should be directed to Trump and his administration. Griffin was interviewed Tuesday on Australian TV before beginning an international comedy tour. Griffin says she lost friends and work and has received death threats during the uproar. Pretty Little Liars actor gets jail time for pointing a gun at a neighbor. Actor Brandon William Jones of North Hills, California, pleaded no contest to one count of assault with a firearm. He is sentenced Monday to 180 days of jail for the for the 2015 incident, according to the Los Angeles District Attorney's Office. In addition to jail time, Jones is sentenced to 3 years of summary probation, 30 days of community service, and 26 anger management classes. In sports, the NFL preseason week three, the Patriots beat the Lions, the Cowboys beat the Raiders, the Colts beat the Steelers, and the Chargers beat the Rams.
And on that note, the NFL is calling us. Hey, okay. It's Ben. How do you pronounce your last name, by the way?
Troop.
I knew it. I was going to say it right. Good. Ben Troop.
Hello. How are you?
From the NFL. All
right.
What's up? We've got Ben in the house.
Yeah.
How is it going today?
Oh, man, it's going on.
Where are you calling in from?
Georgia.
Oh, Georgia. Wow. Very nice. Yeah. Is the weather okay over on your part?
Yeah. I mean, we got good. You know, I'm watching the news in Houston like everybody else.
Okay. Oh. I didn't know if it had, like, hit over that way.
I couldn't do the interview if it was. I'd be like, man, I'm going to have to postpone it. I mean, we
that's
need
true.
To put in the
I
water. But it's cool over here. Cool over here.
Well, you never know. You could be one of those troopers that you could sit, you know, stands out there with a a big, you know, tarp over you.
Like a CNN.
Yeah, like one of those CNN reporters.
Oh yeah, I wouldn't want to be that person, man. I don't want to interview people while they're at their work.
Right.
That'd be bad.
Right.
Got cars floating by.
So, Ben, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself. I know you you played for a couple of different teams for the NFL.
Yeah, I played for the Titans, Buccaneers, and the Raiders. I played 5 years. You know, I enjoyed my time in the NFL. It was something new, definitely a dream come true, but it was a business. It's the business of football. You enjoy it while it lasts, but, you know, I was humbled to be able to play as long as I did. Possibly could have played longer, but, I mean, injuries was something that I never, ever really experienced until I got to the professional level, so I just ended up walking away.
Right. And what do you do in your role or your capacity for them at this point?
Well, now, I mean, I work with the NFL, doing the NFL Ambassadors College Outreach to where, you know, they have me go around the country speaking to these student-athletes as well as working through their USA Football Heads Up football program. So I'd be pretty busy doing that. It's fun. I'm like an extension of the NFL at this point, being able to just, you know, utilize that platform to talk to today's athletes. But it's new, man, because like I said, when I was coming up, through the ranks of college football, it wasn't social media. And these young men now, man, they really, really think social media is like, it's like a part of them. They think a million followers really means something, man. So they kind of have this sense of entitlement. But I enjoy the opportunity, though.
That's good. Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm glad you're not one of those types of guys. So that's a good thing. You know, I was sent some really good questions here by Danielle. Danielle, who's a really good person from Brushwood Media Group. Danielle Lynn.
Yeah, Ms. D.
Yeah, Danielle Lynn. She media director at Brushwood Media Group. She's the one that sent your information to us originally. We thank her for that.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Danielle. And she sent me some really good questions I'm going to use. Who is your biggest influence?
Definitely my parents. You know, my mom and dad are never, you know, always trying to do their best to you know, push me in the right direction. I mean, I think that, what'd you say?
No, go ahead.
I heard a little feedback. No, I was saying my mom and dad, you know, pushing me in the right direction, giving me these opportunities that I have now. I mean, I don't have like a celebrity type of person that I look up to or anything like that. I mean, my biggest influence were the people that raised me, and, you know, they directed me right now. So giving me that kind of positive feedback, you know, tough love when I need it definitely helped me become who I am and definitely who I'm becoming.
I like that. That's a good answer.
Yeah.
That's a really good answer.
Mm-hmm. Good homebringing.
Yeah. What are you most proud of?
I'm most proud of the fact that I went after what I wanted. I mean, most people in this life, they're going to tell you why their life isn't the way it is because of some circumstance or situation. I'm proud of the fact that I never allowed what I couldn't control dictate what I do or did. So I just go with the fact that, I mean, I'm doing what I set out to do. I mean, I go about my life intentionally, and I'm most proud of the fact that even if I don't make it, I think I'm winning strictly because I go at it.
I like that.
Yes.
We like that attitude. That it's very positive, and I wish there were more people like that in the world.
Yeah. Speak up.
Yeah, you can't just lay down and die because something happens to you in life. You have to get up and keep going.
Start all over.
It happens.
And what do you hope to accomplish?
Really, man, just I hope to one day have my own academies. I mean, nothing with taking nothing away from the education system that we have in America. I just think that kids need more. Kids need to know that opportunities really exist past what they think is possible. So I just want to be able to have like a, you know, kind of like an after school program / summer program to just encouraging kids to go out there and be what they want to be. I mean, most of the time, you know, they don't get these type of opportunities. So I just want to have something in place that we can do that.
I like that. That's good. And that's very good. And you're a good positive role model, especially for the African American community.
Yeah.
More kids need to know, that they have they have opportunities in life, that they have, that they can do something with themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not just
kids need people to look up to. Yeah. You know, something to aspire to be. You know.
That's very true.
It's kind of all the negative, negative media that's out there.
Right. What obstacles did you have to overcome to achieve any level of a success that you have achieved?
Just negative feedback. I mean, most of the time coming up, I mean, I have, you know, with everything you're trying to do, you always got that negative feedback in your head telling you that you're not good enough to do this and you're not good enough to do that. And most of the time, that becomes your thinking. You know, so many people around you telling you can't do it. So you start thinking that you can. And it's almost like even though you're pursuing what you want to pursue, those negative conversations really like resonate with you. So I had to, you know, overcome that. But other than that, man, I mean, once I got past that, you know, it wasn't that it was smooth sailing, but I got a chance to really go out there and do what I wanted to do.
That's good. Mm-hmm. That's good. Not everybody feels that way, or sometimes I know that certain things hold people back in life and maybe they can't do what they always wanted to do. But it's nice that you can actually achieve what you want. And that you bring that positive message to kids at schools that they can also achieve those goals if they put in the work. I like that. And what would you say your passion is?
Just people in general. I mean, being able to be a voice for the voiceless. I mean, I know what it's like to not have somebody speak up for you on your behalf and let you know, like, I exist out here in this world. So my passion is just, you know, speaking up for those who don't have a voice and, you know, just people in general.
Hmm. That's good. So you're like the hero type, kind of guardian type person. That's good. Mm-hmm. That's good. And what would you say your purpose is? Like, what do you plan to get from all this?
As long as I'm able to serve in whatever capacity that I'm in, I think I'm doing what I'm here to do. I mean, I've been blessed to be to do things that most people couldn't even fathom. So I try to utilize my platform with things I've done to like help other people. So if I'm serving other people, I'm doing what my purpose is.
Okay. And I don't know. Tell us a little bit about yourself growing up. Like, what was your life like growing up?
I come from a little country town, Swainsboro, Georgia. Everybody knew everybody. It was one of everything. One high school, one middle school, one hospital. And it was a place to where people were very, very comfortable. Not really a place of innovativeness or creativity. Everybody kind of accept the life that they was given. And, you know, it's humble beginnings. But, you know, it taught me a lot. It taught me a lot about, you know, not being complacent. I mean, I wouldn't change where I'm from. I wouldn't change how I came up. I didn't come up with a silver spoon in my mouth or anything. Definitely came up in our hard times, but I think those things shaped me. So while it was hard, it definitely showed me how to be a pretty efficient adult.
Oh, good.
I like that. Mm-hmm. So you went to like high school football, and then from there, you went to college and then pro?
Yeah. Graduated high school, Butler High School in Augusta, Georgia. My mother moved me and my brother and sister away to the city. Now I was in the fifth grade, graduated high school from Butler, went to the University of Florida, and got drafted after my senior year.
Hmm. Okay. Wow. That's really good.
Yeah.
That doesn't always happen. I mean, a very small percentage.
It's pretty rare. I mean, to make it to the NFL, they say less than 1% makes it from college football. And people always say you got to be pretty crazy to think that you're going to be the one that less than 1%. I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty crazy to think I'm that. And, you know, it happened, but for most of us, it won't. So, you know, I'm definitely fortunate in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, you can say you are very one of the very few human beings on the planet who's ever played in the NFL professionally. You know what I mean? Not just been a towel boy.
You played. And the thing is, too, man, I used to think that, I don't look down upon those who didn't make it. Like, you know, if I made it and somebody else didn't, it's not that my talent superseded theirs. I mean, the question I get asked most of the time is, what was it about you that you made and somebody else didn't? I said, I don't know. I would love to tell you why I made it and they didn't make it, but I do not know. I'm happy they selected me, but I don't know why. Because it's not like, you know, my talent superseded somebody else's. Just I always say, maybe they looked at me and said, this is a person I can trust when he's not in my presence. Because most of these players, when you're not in your owner's presence, they're scared to death. So maybe they could just trust me when I'm not around them.
Mm. Yeah, that's good. That's good philosophy. I like that. Wow. And so it says you were first team all Southeastern Conference.
I was in the SEC. Yeah, I was first team all SEC, first team all American my senior year. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like that. You received first team all American honors from ESPN. Oh, that's good.
I think so, man. I think so. I mean, I didn't even, and that's the thing, too. I mean, I'll take the accolades. I never played for the accolades, but I'll take them. I mean, it looks good on your resume when you, I guess, talking about your time in college football. People always want to know, what did you do? And when you say things like first team All-SEC, first team All-American, they'd be like, oh, okay. So, you know, it definitely looks good on your resume, though.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. You have a good-looking resume, though. I'm reading here all the good stuff. You see, you are one of three finalists for the John Mackey Award, recognizing the nation's best college tight end in 2003. Well, see, that's really good.
Yes. It was fun. I mean, it was definitely, my senior year was definitely fun. As long as my resume don't have nothing on it about going to jail and putting my hands on females, I think, you know, you could take all that stuff away. As long as it ain't got nothing on there about domestic violence and all that other crazy stuff athletes do, I think that's what make my resume the best to me, because I don't have all that negativity on there.
Which is good. That is a really good thing. I mean, I have seen a lot of those horror stories. Or, like, was it Aaron Hernandez?
Yeah.
From,
He went to my school. He went to Florida, and we played the same position,
really?
Too.
Oh, wow.
But I mean, but at the same time, you can't separate it. Like I always tell people, forget what I've done athletically. If I put my hands on women, I'm a woman beater.
Right.
You can throw all that other stuff away. You know, and people be like, oh, well, you was a good player. I also beat women. Or if I was a drunk driver and I killed somebody, that's what people should want to talk about. And people get mad. Like if I'm Ray Rice, I expect people to ask me about hitting my fiance on camera.
Right.
Or hitting her, period. But people kind of run away from that. I'm like, listen, man, I can't run away from the negative side of me, because that's a part of me, too. If I want to answer the questions that's kind of like talking about my good side, I got to be able to talk about the bad side, too.
That's true. But a lot of people don't want to hear that, because they don't want to be confronted.
No. Interview is over. You know? If I put my hands on women, and you ask me about putting my hands on women, interview is over.
Yeah,
because I don't want to talk about it.
They'll drop it real fast.
You know?
See, that's a good thing. You don't have all that crap on your record, which is good, because you don't want to go down being remembered for that kind of stuff.
No.
I mean, I would hope that Mike Tyson wouldn't want to be remembered for biting Evander Holyfield's ear off, but you know he's going to be. So,
But I'm not as crazy as Mike, though. See, I mean, Mike Tyson
Mike's
so
crazy.
Crazy.
Mike's crazy.
That you're not going to ask him that. You probably want to ask him that, but you're like, well, if he bit Evander Holyfield's ear off,
what would he do to me? What would you do to me for asking the question? Yeah, no, I wouldn't ask him. But it'd still be fun. Well, actually, I kind of am a ballsy bitch. I probably would ask him. And I'd be like, I dare him to bite my ear.
You want to ask him what he did, you know what I'm saying? But see, Mike Tyson wouldn't want to talk about the rape stuff. But think about it. That's it's sad, but that's what makes you intriguing. People want to know, like, how you go from the heavyweight champion of the world. I am married to Robin, you know, all stuff like that. I'm just saying, it's just, I'm just happy that I'm not known for something negative. Because if I'm known for something negative globally or nationally, I'm probably going to get asked about it everywhere I go. Not just when I'm interviewed, but, you know, thank God I don't have that type of stuff.
They probably also wouldn't have you going around to all these different schools talking to, kids about motivational, like being a motivational speaker for kids for the NFL, and stuff. They wouldn't have you doing that, I would hope. if you were a woman beater and a rapist and a bunch of other stuff.
If I was honest about it and I didn't try to walk away from it and I use it as a means to show them what not to do, then yes. But most of the guys, you know, they try to talk about it real quick. But I'm like, man, that's a hard pill to swallow because everybody want to be on this pedestal. Everybody want to be in the limelight. But you want that limelight to dim when you got a when you got something negative, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's attached to you. But and these kids nowadays, man, with Google and Wikipedia, by the time you walk in there, they know every single thing about you. If I would have tried to leave something out, they're going to be like, well, tell us about when you beat up this woman. They're going to call you out on it. So you don't get to stand up there like, because you was in the NFL or whatever, that you're better than them. No, they call you out on your stuff. So most of them dudes, they wouldn't survive, man. These some of the roughest audiences you can be around now. These millennials, man, they chew people up. They chew you up.
People like me. So I hear you had a nickname.
Well, I'm a millennial too. I mean, I had to check it to see. I mean, I was born in '82, so they didn't have that word back when I was in school and stuff. I heard about millennials like 5-6 years ago. So
I'm Generation X, and we're ballsy motherfuckers.
Generation X.
I say some. I'll go there. I don't give a crap.
You surely don't.
But you're free too, though. Think about it, though. But the fact that you don't care, you're free.
Like,
most people are so afraid of what somebody's gonna say. I said, well, listen, they're gonna talk about me regardless. If I went to an event and I gave everybody $100 bill, you know what they're gonna say? That's all. All you're gonna give us is $100. You cannot please people. Might as well be yourself.
Mm-hmm. I tell my children all the time, you know, you can't please everybody. Not everybody's going to like you.
So don't try.
And not everybody's going to talk nicely about you. I said, so it's not even worth your time to get upset about those people.
Yeah.
Because they're not your friend anyway, and they're not going to help you in life. So what does it matter? I said, so just keep on pushing.
Yeah, don't try.
Keep on pushing. Don't even bother. Don't worry about them. Because they're, you know, I mean, those type of people ain't going to go nowhere in life anyway. So it doesn't really matter. I just tell my children, don't be bothered by it. Because, you know, you're a good person. I told my kids, you know, it's not worth it. I see something funny here. You had a nickname from your Titans teammates. What was that?
Yeah.
I hear.
What is it? Troop Skadoop or something like that?
Yeah, the Troop Skadoop. I like that
one. I have a very catchy last name. So, you know, they're trying to, you know, and that's the thing about football players, you know, we rather have nicknames. It was based on somebody saying, I think your nickname is more intriguing than your actual name. I said, you don't get to pick your nicknames, too. So I can live with that. And I've heard some pretty bad nicknames in my lifetime. So I can live with that one.
Yeah, it could have been really bad. I mean, you know, your last name's awesome. But I can remember being a 5-year-old.
Yeah.
What they would have called you.
You get some pretty crazy. And the thing is too, a lot of people have nicknames from your family, so they think that kind of stuff means something when you make it to the NFL. I said I could care less than what your family called you. You know, I'm not going to call you what your family called you.
Well, if that was the case, they'd be calling me Half Pint. My older sister used to call me Half Pint from Laura Ingalls Wilder. Little House on the Prairie. Yeah, Little House on the Prairie. I used to watch that as a kid. She said I was obsessed, so she called me Half Pint. I'm like, Lord. Somebody called me that a few weeks ago. I was like, shut the hell up. I don't want to hear that crap.
Are you like, you've outlived that. Like, listen, that's when I was a kid. I don't want to hear that stuff no more.
I also obviously outlived the part about getting pissed off when people would call me Jenny.
Yeah,
I overcame that one. I overcame that one, obviously, because look at the name of my show. I used to have a fashion merchandising teacher back in 12th grade that used to call me Jenny, and I was always known as Jen. Everybody called me Jen, or Jennifer. My teachers would call you Jennifer, and I was, or Jen. My, all my friends, I was Jen. And then she would always call me Jenny, and I was like, it's Jen or Jennifer. And I get so pissed off. I just think that's funny when people do that kind of crap to you. Like my daughter, I call her Sammy. Of course, but now I can laugh about it. Then it would irritate the hell out of me because I thought Jenny was like a pussy name.
Yeah, but then you got a radio show to where, you know, you get an opportunity to, like, you know, you can, like, air people out on the air.
Exactly. They,
you know, so anybody that, so that's a good thing about being on the radio is, you know, people just hear your voice. They don't see your face. So the person you saw that may have cut you off in traffic, they're going to get it on the air today. They just don't know you're talking about it.
Oh, yeah.
Unless they listen to the show.
Oh, yeah. You know, and I get called sir. I'm a telemarketer also. I do sales. I do sales, marketing and stuff. And people will call on the phone and people will be like, oh, thank you, sir. Have a good day, sir. I always get called in the drive-thru. Pull around to the first window and pay, sir. I know I got a deep voice, assholes, but really? My boss goes, I don't get it. You sound like a girl to me. Oh, that's you, Bob.
Do.
That's you. I'm like, that's you. I get it. I get it. I got a deep voice. But that's the whole point is you got to be able to laugh at it. When you get to be an adult, you should be able to laugh at it by this point. There's no point in getting upset about it.
Yeah, you can't. If you can't, as my dad would say, if you can't laugh at your deficiencies, you have a problem.
Yeah, yourself. Exactly. You know, got to be able to laugh at yourself.
It shouldn't be a surprise. Like, you know.
Yeah, like I'm a comedian. But, you know, I got to be able to laugh at myself. I mean, come on.
Of course. And this is what you do. If somebody make a joke and then you just laugh real hard and just stop laughing. See if they stop laughing.
You're right.
Because most of the time they want to be funny. But hey, I get it all the time. I mean, you know, I'm a pretty tall guy, pretty big guy, whatever. So people make jokes in front of me, huh? And if I stop laughing, the whole table stop laughing. The whole table. That wasn't funny. Come again. Try again.
That's crazy. I have the harshest critics on the planet, my family. They're all a bunch of sarcastic douchebags. Oh, they're all sarcastic. They're all like, you know, they pick on you. So, oh, yeah, I'm used to it. So I got used to that at a young age. It's just no point. You know, you can't say nothing to me that I don't already know about myself. Keep on trying.
Right.
That's something new. I don't know. So I'm sure you deal with some interesting things when you're on the road, going to these different schools. What's one of your funniest experiences you've had on the road?
Man, with these travels, most of the time when I get on campus, you know, a lot of times some of these colleges, they're very, very welcoming, but some of the stuff they want you to do, I don't want to do it. And I don't know how to tell them I don't want to do it, because obviously I'm there to speak to the student athletes, but sometimes they'll say, well, Ben, we want you to be on a panel. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to be on the panel. But I have to, and the thing is, they're walking me to the place. Hey, Ben, we want you to be on this panel. And I'll just stop. Like, I'm not going to be on the panel. And everybody gets nervous. Like I'm about to turn into the big black man, the big black, angry black man. I'm just mad. Like, no, I'm just not going to, you know, stuff like that. Like, I don't, and the thing is, I look like the jerk because they were like, well, Ben, you know, we got you down here to, you know, they'll say, we already told everybody you was coming. I'm like, who's everybody? I'm here to talk to them. You can't just tell the student body that Ben's, no. And the thing is, one time they didn't tell me I was going to this. I walk into this big college, I mean, this big auditorium, and it's just full of people. And they get to clapping. They put a spotlight on me, put a mic in my hand. I'm like, what is this, man? So, I've learned to just expect anything when I walk into this. Because if I don't do it, that's going to be the headline.
Right.
You know, former NFL player says no.
Says no to little kids. Body. Says no to little children.
Of course.
They're going to spin it. You know how it's not a lot of press. I'm pressed, but I don't like spinning things to a negative thing. I'd rather spin something positively.
It's fun, though. It's fun. I mean, fun. Or the autograph.
That's crazy.
You know, because people want your autograph, which is fine.
Of course.
I don't know what they're
going
to do with it. But the thing is, don't ask me, don't say, hey, Ben, I know you're tired of signing autographs, but can I have an autograph? Wait a minute. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, don't say, I know you're tired of taking pictures, but can I have a picture? Like, let's just take a picture. You know, stuff like that. Or,
right.
But I'm used to it, though. I mean, because I always say this. My life could have been, nobody could have ever known who I was. I could have never made it and done the things I've done. So certain things just come with it. And You know, I just accept it because I said no one time to the panel, and these people were just like, are you serious? Like, the dude told me, you know how much money we spent for this? I'm like, how am I going to be a part of the program when I didn't even get an invite? You ain't even tell me I was coming.
Wow.
I just get out of my car. But, you know, it just comes with me.
Craziness.
Yeah, at least give somebody some information about what's going on.
I'm sure you've seen some funny stuff when you were playing with the teams, though. Like, which team did you like the best out of the three teams you played for?
I like Tennessee and Tampa because they ain't got no state tax, so my checks were bigger.
He's being honest. I like that.
Some of the most interesting people you ever gonna meet are football players because you around each other all the time. And I just realized football players and athletes were very, very weird. But people accept our weirdness because we're athletes.
That's
awesome.
I'm just
serious. People accept the fact that we're weird. Like, and the thing is, but I can tell you, but because I'm around these people all the time, I can say, man, you're kind of weird. They're like, yeah, I'm weird. Like they gave guys contacts when I was with the Titans, and a bunch of guys wanted red contacts. And I'm like, why are you picking red? Nobody picks red contacts. So they just weird. Man, they probably thought I was weird, too. But yeah, there's too many stories to name, man. I mean, these guys are, you know, one of my friends had a mansion. He didn't have no furniture in it, but he thought that was regular. He had TVs, but he didn't have no furniture. But he would invite people over to his house like he had furniture. I said, dude, it looks like you just moved in, and you've been here like 2 years. It's stuff like that.
You've been there,
you know, stuff
2 years.
Like that.
Wow. That's awesome.
It's crazy, though. I mean, those stories, they just keep going because, like I said, me and another guy lived in the same neighborhood for 4 years and didn't know it. Like, we just happened to be driving our neighborhood one day. I said, well, you live in here? Yeah. It's just crazy, man. It's just, you know, because we come together. The football players are like family members. You don't get to pick them. You just have to live with them. And that's kind of how it is.
Interesting.
That's funny.
Who's some of the most interesting ones you've worked with?
John Gruden, who used to be the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the head coach, he was very interesting because, like, he likes to be on camera. Like, you know, and because football is very, very boring. That's why they only let you guys see on Sundays. You don't want to see Monday through Saturday because it's boring. But he would film himself. So we have to go through meetings. And he would film himself as he does the meeting. And when everybody goes home, he'll put the freaking tape in and watch himself talking. I'm like, dude, you weird. You watch yourself. You just said this. You know, so, I mean, that's the kind of stuff you have to live with guys. Like, you know, because, I mean, like I say, I mean, you just around each other all the time. So there is no politicking. There is no sugarcoating. You just walk up to people and say, man, I think you're ugly. I think you're ugly. And I think your wife likes you because you just signed a $65 million contract. There is nothing attractive about your face. But $65 million? Oh, that's Denzel Washington type thing.
That's awesome.
Like, you know, it's not to be... I'm just saying, I mean, that's the one thing I did like about being a football player is at a certain point, man, you just brutally honest. I mean, people probably thought, you know, so. Because, I mean, you got to find a way to pass the time, I guess. We around each other from Monday through Friday from 8 o'clock in the morning to 6 o'clock in the afternoon, and we on the field 2 hours for practice. What do you do with all that time? You talk about each other. That's what we do.
Yeah. Sounds like a bunch of women. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. That was the fun part. Female reporters get to come into the locker room. After practice and stuff, when you're a rookie, you got to get used to it. But after about two games, please. The female reporter, they just have to get used to just seeing naked men walking around. That's all they're going to see.
That'd be funny. Be a female reporter and go up to those places. Try to interview somebody. some dude's got a big shawl, the new female
they may drop their mic a couple of times, oh boom, they'll drop it and pick it back up, but that's about it. But you know, it's funny though. That stuff is funny.
Well, yeah, I'm sure, you know, if you see anything interesting while you're in there, you know, like, she might drop the mic a few times on purpose. Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. Oh, wait, hold on. I got to kick. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to kick it over there. Oh, hold on. Just, yeah.
Wait a minute. Is this the mic?
Is this the mic? Is that a mic?
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, you have to get used to anything. NFL locker room, you have to get used to every NFL flight. Are the funniest because it's not like a real flight. We got flight attendants and stuff like that, but guys be at like 10,000 feet still on their phones because it's not a real flight. You know, it's a charter flight, but you know, NFL is not real life. That's the problem. That's why when guys leave the NFL, they don't know how to adjust to life because they've been in a fantasy world for like 10-15 years.
So it's like the military. Except for without bombs and getting killed and shit, and arms blown
and without
off,
the, but without the benefits, you know, at least the military they give you 100% dental and medical.
Yeah, and you get like a check every month or whatever, you know, especially if you served during war and shit like that. Yeah, that's crazy. You don't even get anything when you leave, huh? No kind of pension package.
No, you don't get
nothing
when you leave.
Damn.
No.
They should have a 401k or
something. A bunch of headache.
That sounds like my job.
It sounds like anybody's job,
everybody's job.
That sucks. That's not right. You do all that crap and you beat the hell out of your body and then you get jack shit when you leave. That's just lovely.
Well, I mean, but this is my thing, though. I don't like when guys complain about it, though. Like when they go, oh, the NFL did this to me. No. You chose to do it. The money did it to you. It ain't the NFL, it's the money that did it to you, because the thing is, you did it for free for like 20 years before you actually got a check. So you can bang your head and all this kind of stuff, but what happens is this. Somebody says, hey, man, you want to be the spokesperson for CTE? And you go, yeah. Then somebody else says, well, you can't be the spokesperson for CTE because you have to be diagnosed when you're dead. So you might have it, but then again, so I don't know. I just think it's very hypocritical. You're gonna work for the same company for 30 years, and as soon as you say I'm retired, you talk trash about the whole company. And they're the worst people in the world. They don't even, but you know, it's just life.
Yeah, it's the way you were the one that worked there, so and you're true. It's right, true.
I mean,
yeah. A lot of kids start football when they're what, Pee Wee League nowadays? Like a lot of people.
Yeah, like seven years old.
Yeah, and then they're playing all the way through there. All the way through middle school, high school, and then if you go to college, and if you get, you know, if you get chosen, if you're one of those lucky ones who gets chosen to get a scholarship to go to college on a football scholarship, that's a small percentage of the people from all the thousands and thousands and thousands of kids who play in high school. Only a tiny percentage of them get picked to go to college to play ball. And then out of all those people, only a tiny little percentage of them gets picked to go to the NFL. So, like, holy crap, you just, like, won the lottery, Ben Troop.
Oh, yeah.
You won the lottery, Ben Troop. No, but you put in a crap ton of hard work for that, to, you know, to win that lottery. So I'm just saying, that's just incredible, though. We were talking about that, my husband and I were talking about that the other day. About how such a tiny percentage of you know, athletes in the world, whether it's be football, baseball, basketball, hockey, whatever, only a tiny percentage of them get picked to go on to the next level.
Well, I want to ask, how many actual athletes, football players, get drafted every year?
200 and so the draft has 250 some guys that get drafted.
Okay,
but it's a funny thing. Half of those guys are going to get cut by the time the regular season starts. So out of 250-some guys, maybe 100 and something, maybe 110 may make it.
Damn. Jeez.
Maybe 100. But and that's the thing, though. It's almost like this. The NFL teach you how to be a businessman. And if you don't learn how to be one, that's on you, because the average NFL career is 3 years.
Okay.
And the reason why it's 3 years is this. You have to play 3 years and four games to get your benefit. So what they'll do is they'll let you play 3 years and three games, and they'll cut you, and they'll send a memo to all the other owners and say he has one game left to get his benefits, and they will not pick you up.
Whoa.
They are petty.
That's horrible.
They're very, very petty.
It's petty now.
Whoa. Or to even make it even more pettier, if I have an incentive in my contract that says if I catch 80 balls, or, you know, I get I get a $200,000 bonus. If we're losing and we're not going to the playoffs and I got 79 catches, they'll say, hey, Ben, we're going to put the young guys in. They will not throw me the ball. They'll tell the other quarterbacks, do not throw him the ball. Because if we don't win, he don't win. But you know what I told the quarterback before the game started? If you throw me the ball, I'll give you something. I'll give you like, you know, $2,000-$3,000. Something. Because I've already bribed him.
Yeah.
But that's how the NFL is. It's Ooh. Bad. The NFL is, it is a cutthroat business.
Ooh. Crazy. That is just nuts. See, the things that you learn.
Mm-hmm.
The things you learn.
That's why I do radio now. Okay. That's why I'm in radio now, because
are you on the
I don't
radio?
Have a,
that's
I don't,
awesome.
You know, I don't have a face for television anymore. That's why I'm in here. Most football players, let me tell you something. Those helmets, they make a big difference, because when they take them off, somebody goes, put it back on. Put your helmet back on. You ain't trying to see all that.
Nice.
Like I say, man, I'm not talking about anybody, but look at some of these guys' wives. Mm. You look at the wife and you look at him, and somebody goes, well, how did you guys meet? Oh, I met him when he was in the NFL. Really? Yeah, he makes $5 million a year. Oh, okay. I get it. I got it. Because I was trying to put it together.
Right?
Ooh, man.
That's awesome.
So Ben, do you talk to any current players?
If I can, most of these new guys, if I know them, if I've seen them in college and then I see them like when they get drafted, because most of them, they kind of big time you. You know, they making a lot of money, mm-hmm. and they feel as though like I'm the has-been that used to play, and I'm trying to like, you know, they may feel as though like I'm trying to like hate on them or something. I don't know, but I'd be like, man, I'm rooting for you. Because most of these dudes, they different though. They different now. Like, social media has really messed a lot of this generation up.
Because
they really think that stuff matter in a way. You just, I mean, most of these dudes, I say, how many days you go without tweeting? They go, oh, I can't go a day without tweeting.
Oh,
I go,
Lord.
You, sir, need a hobby. You need a hobby if you can't go a day without tweeting. But that's
neither,
how they like it
now.
They are glued to those phones.
Neither can Trump. And he's around like 70, isn't he, or something? He's around 70. That man tweets on a daily freaking basis. I think he tweets from the toilet. I took a really big dump today. I took a huge dump today. Hashtag flush that shit down.
I'm just saying, if aliens came down and was like, show me to your leader, and I showed them Trump, they'd be like, you better stop playing with me. That's him right there.
No, that can't
I'm just
be
saying,
him.
Man, it's crazy. Trump is Trump lives in a bubble. Trump lives in a bubble.
I think
and
so.
Trump couldn't play football. You know why? Because we have game plans. And we say, Trump, this is what we got. And he'll get on the field and he'll do whatever he want to do. Because that's what he do anyway.
Yeah.
Forget what we just talked about. Forget all the preparation. He going to say, hey, man, I want to talk to you about North Korea. They go, boo, let's talk about the wall. He going to go straight to the wall.
Yeah.
Right now. And I don't know what. I don't even know if Trump knows what he's doing. I don't even think he really want to be president. But when he won, somebody go, dude, you know you won, right? He's like, for real?
I think that's what it was too. I think that's what it was too. Because when you looked at him, when he first won, and they told him, he had this look on his face like he was scared shitless. Like, oh crap, I didn't think I'd really win. I didn't think I was actually gonna win.
Donald Trump be talking about immigration like any of his wives are from America. Any your wife from America? Nope.
Every one of them.
I don't date America.
Yeah, no.
I don't date America.
I saw something.
And then somebody goes, are you anti-Semitic? Like, no, I'm not. He was like, well, he probably want to say he is, but he's like, but my daughter's like, you know, I love her, but she's half Jewish. She ain't
100%. Daughter, son-in-law, right? He's Jewish?
My son. My son
Jared
is.
Kushner, his son-in-law? Isn't he Jewish?
And it's something, I don't know.
I think so. I mean, the only reason why Kushner could even marry his daughter, because he got a bunch of money. You know? And she goes, I mean, I'm just, listen, Trump is, they're gonna have a show called Keeping Up with the Trump. If the Kardashians can make it, you know he's trying to get some of that money.
Right. <What? laughs> Yeah, that's true. and now there's, what's her name? Caitlyn Jenner? No.
Caitlyn. Is her name Caitlyn?
Yeah.
She don't even know what she's supposed to be doing. Somebody told her, you realize that you're not supposed to be for Trump, right? For real? Yes. That's what Bruce would have did. You Caitlin now.
Yeah,
okay, got it.
Yeah, now you're supposed to do the opposite. It's opposite day. It's opposite day for Bruce Jenner.
If a transgender's coming at you and you're supposed to be the spokesperson for transgenders, you're not doing a good representation.
Yeah.
You better do something.
Yeah, you're not representing very well, buddy. And oh, sorry, sister.
Exactly.
Sister. Sorry.
Somebody comes up to Caitlin with the Wheaties box and say, "You remember this? This used to be you. This is not you anymore. Okay? This is not you anymore. Okay?"
See, baby, NFL players do have a sense of humor.
Yeah, he's funny.
Of course, man. At least I do. I don't want to speak for all of them, because some of us, man, you know, I mean, I have a sense of humor. If I can't laugh at myself or at life, I'm doing the wrong stuff.
who was the idiot who was doing the dog fighting? What was that, Michael Vick?
Michael Vick.
Now that's a jackass. That's what I'm saying. He's not a good representation.
Michael Vick signed for $100 million twice. Michael Vick signed for $100 million, went to jail for dog fighting, got out and signed for $100 million again. I said, "Boy, you are a magician."
Yeah, right.
How did you do that?
Right. That's what I'm talking about. You did something really horrible.
Because just know this: when it comes to things with professional sports, it's all about what you do. It's just about what you do. See, Michael Vick, he killed dogs, and I'm not condoning that. But he can get out of jail. And he can go work with the Humane Society. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. He's like, "Oh, all is well," and this, that, and the third. But certain, you know, Plexico Burris, he shot himself. He went to prison for shooting himself. I didn't even know that was a crime.
Yeah.
I can go to crime and shoot myself. Yep.
What?
Because he went to jail for it.
Why
got out of jail, he got another job.
You got in trouble for shooting himself.
Well, it wasn't because he shot himself. It was because he was in the club in New York City with a gun, and the gun went off. And then he didn't have a permit.
Oh, and it could have killed somebody else. It could have ended up killing somebody else instead of hitting him.
Oh yeah. I mean, if I got to go to the club and I need a gun, I don't need to be going there.
No,
I don't.
Yeah, I don't need to go to the club. Yeah, no, if that's the case,
I don't even. Go, I mean, I don't.
I hate
go
going to the club.
Right?
I hate clubs.
Say, listen, Puff Daddy by 50 years old. And he's still in the club. Come on, Puffy. You got
to
move on.
Yeah, it's time to move on. Yeah. No, my age, I don't need to be sitting in no damn club. God. I see these these kids are, you know, running around. They're like 20, you know, 22, whatever, 23. They're running around the club, and I'm sitting there, you know, trying to stay awake. Because I'm up past 10 p.m.
Because
I'm up past 10 p.m.
And something jumps off and you got to run to your car. Every bone in your body going to hurt and you ain't ran about 20 feet. But you ain't used to moving that fast. I'm serious. It's like, what if you parked down the street? Or what if you had an Uber and you got to run down to the Uber? You ain't going to make it. The Uber going to have to, you're going to fall right in front of the Uber. The Uber going to have to help you in the car.
That's why
I don't go to the club, because I don't have the energy. You know what I'm saying? For like, you know, 20-year-olds, they can go out to the club till 4 in the morning. They got to be to work at 7. I don't know how they do that. I can't do it.
I don't either. I go to concerts on a weeknight, and I'm screwed because I have to work the next morning, and I'm just like dragging the whole next day because I had to go cover a concert for the Rip My Show, you know. And I'm like, the whole next day, I'm like, I feel like crap. And I didn't even drink anything. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't even drink anything. I look like I have a hangover and I haven't touched a damn drop of alcohol. I didn't do any drugs. I didn't do anything. I'm sitting there like I'm tore up. I'm like, oh my God.
I mean, the club is different. The club is different. Now, I ain't been to the club.
I hate
in
the club.
Years. You know, they wouldn't card me or nothing. They'd just pull me to the side. They'd be like, "Sir, move on out of the way." Why? Because if something jump off, you got to run, you're going to have to call medical assistance. So, you don't belong to that. So what you mean?
Sir,
you
know, your medical alert bracelet.
And I ain't got the energy for it. I don't have the stuff that I know people that rent cars just to go to the club to impress people. I'm like, what are you doing?
Stupid.
Where you coming from? I just came from Enterprise. Why? And they'll say, because, you know, I had to rent this car. And I go, don't you know it got an Enterprise tag on the back? Oh, my God. You look ridiculous. But they do. I'm telling you, the world we live in is so crazy. Social media shows you this fabrication we call life because people care about how it looks. And I go, once this girl knows that you live in your mama's basement, she go, and he'll say, well, she already knows. I'm like, really? And she still comes to visit you? Oh, my God.
Well,
carry on. carry on.
It is time for us to come to an end, Ben Troop.
Thank you.
We have loved speaking with you.
Thank you.
But the show is coming to an end. It went by so fast. We had so much fun talking to you. You are always welcome back on the show. If you're ever in the LA area, you're always welcome to come sit with us during a live broadcast.
Absolutely.
All right. We love you, Ben Troop from the NFL. We salute you, sir, for all that you did for us. Okay, that was awesome. He was such a great guy.
Yes.
That was so nice. Well, next week we have Vietnamese heavy metal band Zavang in the house.
Good.
We have been talking with Ben Troop today from the NFL. He is a wonderful motivational speaker for them now. He used to play for Tennessee Titans and Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and I believe he said the Raiders. Sound like you said the Raiders on there. So three great teams, and thank you so much for being on the show this week, Ben. We enjoyed every minute of your company. You were funny as hell, and you were a great guest, and we were not able to play our interviews, but we'll do next week. Oh, Elvira was awesome on Saturday, by the way. We'll talk more about it next week when we have a little more time. We're going to have to purchase the second hour. Anywho, we're out. Jenny's Real Talk on the Block, LA Talk Radio, Channel 1, produced by Get Real Global Entertainment on iHeartRadio, iTunes, and YouTube.
Thank you. Thank you, listeners.
See you later.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Jenny's Real Talk on the Block with Jennifer DeVoe, only on LA Talk Radio.